We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the line with us is a guy, I kind of built him up pretty good here, Al, from the Philadelphia, you know, Philly.com, that covers everything, is one of the best columnists in America, Mike Sielski, is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Morning, Angelo. How are you?
Mike, needless to say, I really enjoy your column on Markel Fultz.
Thank you.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out, Mike, because you're right. You're 100% right. The Sixers appear more concerned about saving face than taking care of their number one pick. Why? Why won't they just be honest with people about what's going on with Fultz?
Well, I think a couple reasons. Number one, I think this has been their default position for a while. And I think it's part of the reason, you may not like this, that Sam Hinkie isn't there anymore. I think, you know, whatever you thought about Hinkie and the process and all that kind of stuff, it was at least completely basketball-oriented. And it was, you know, this is what I think is best to try to turn the Sixers into a championship team. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a long time. It may not even work, but this is what we're going to do. And he was at least transparent about it, or more transparent than the Sixers have been, because their default position is, hey, let's take whatever little smidgen of success we've had and sell it and market it and try to extrapolate it out into, you know, convincing people to buy tickets. And I think when you have a situation like they've had over the last 4 years, where you've had four first-round picks and Nerlens Noel and Joel Embiid and Jahlil Okafor and Ben Simmons miss all or most of their rookie seasons, you don't want that to happen again with Markel Fultz. You're worried about your image and the way that looks. And so rather than just tell people, look, this kid is in a bad place and we need to shut him down and get him right because we gave up two first-round picks to get him and we need him to be good, they'd rather kind of kick the can down the road and treat it that way.
Mike, I totally agree with what you're saying, but here's what I've learned in all the years of observing and covering sports. People that are trying to preserve their image usually destroy it. In other words, these guys, they're not secure. Jerry Colangelo, the father of Brian Colangelo, is one of the most open guys. I dealt with him. I was a basketball writer 30 years ago, and I would call Jerry Colangelo. He'd take my call for Providence, Rhode Island, and he gave you straight answers. Mike, I don't understand how that's his son, Brian, who's afraid everywhere he turns. He's watching every word. He's twisting the truth. How can a guy who works in our city do it for this long, Mike, and not realize it's not the right way to do things?
Well, because in part, I think, because he worked in two previous markets, Phoenix and Toronto, where you're not going to have the media scrutiny of an NBA team that you would have in Philadelphia. That's just a fact of life. I mean, let's be honest, Al knows this as well as anybody. You know, the Maple Leafs are the top priority in Toronto. Nobody cares about the Raptors, relatively speaking. So, you know, that's part of it. And again, I think this fits into the mentality of the entire organization. You know, whether you're talking about Scott O'Neill, the other people on the business and marketing side, you know, it kind of just filters throughout the organization. Look, you're talking about a franchise here that back in 2015 put Michael Carter Williams, you know, on a marketing campaign front and center 2 weeks before the trade deadline. And it didn't matter that
didn't
their general
tell anyone.
Manager was planning to trade him and didn't even care. I mean, so, you know, this is the way the Sixers do things, for better or worse.
All right. Now, there's one part of your column there that alarmed the heck out of me, and I had not put it all together. Al, you know all the guys that have had the yips?
Yeah.
Mike has kept track of a lot of them, right? Steve
yips.
Sachs, Chuck Knobloch, Mackie Sasser, Steve Blass, right? And I didn't even know Ben Hogan had it, the golfer, at the end of his career. And here's the thing that I noted here, Mike. I don't think any of these guys came back from the mental block. Did any of them return to their prime form after they had the mental block?
None of the guys I listed there.
Are there any?
Not that I could find. Now, it may be a situation where a guy gets over it and no one ever knows that he, you know, that he has them.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe there are success stories out there. But the broader point to me was, you know, those were all guys who were established in their respective sports and their respective careers. I mean, Ben Hogan had been the greatest golfer in the world for a while. He had come back from a terrible car accident and still been the best golfer in the world. And he couldn't get over this mental hump. And Fultz is 19 years old. And I've gotten some pushback on this column because people are saying, well, you know, what do you want the Sixers to do? Do you want them to just tell everybody that the kid, you know, is mentally fragile and stigmatize him and say that he can't shoot foul shots? Actually, I talked to a sports psychologist who said, yeah, you have to confront the problem head on.
Yep.
You can't keep sending him out there in front
Brandon
of the media.
Brandon Brooks of the Eagles.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. Has been very open about his anxiety issues to the point where his teammate is comfortable enough to put it in a post celebration rant.
Yep.
There
you go. Look at Nelson Aguilar, you know, 2 years ago, getting over the fact he couldn't hang on to the football. You know, you have to be upfront about this because the nature of media nowadays, the fact that it's around us all the time, it's going to be found out anyway. And they keep pushing him out there, shooting foul shots before a game or shooting layups, you know, at practice while the media have a chance to watch him. And all that does is raise people's expectations about when he might be back. And there's no telling when he'll be back.
I think they're doing a terrible – and this is where I loved what J.J. Redick did the other day, but I think it was misguided. His comments were directed at the media, the kids, you know, bleeping 19 years old.
Yeah.
Why don't you go and say that to the team and protect that kid a little better?
Exactly.
I mean, that's their job. He is only 19. I get that.
Right.
But they keep, you know, putting this stuff out there.
Hey, Mike. I have a theory. I want to see if you have a theory as to why this happened to Fultz. You have a theory?
Why it happened? I think here's what I think happened. I think he did something to his shoulder.
Okay.
And I think in compensating for it or, you know, trying to shoot around it, he got himself all out of whack. This from the sports sector, I talked to the guy who treated Steve Sachs and corrected Steve Sachs' problem. And he said that's very common in elite athletes. If something happens, an injury, often an injury, and it changes the results that they're seeing when they shoot a basketball or throw a baseball, and it becomes this kind of computer chip problem in their head, and they just can't shake it. That's, if I were taking a guess, that's what I'd say has probably happened here. What's your thoughts, Andy?
I keep thinking that it has something to do with the fact that he's the number one pick, that he's supposed to be the best player, and that he'll look at these other kids that went after him and go, well, they're better than me. You know, if you have any insecurity and you're the number one pick, it's going to probably come out.
Well,
that's,
you know, it's interesting. I talked to Nelson Aguilar about this last year, early in the season. Remember, he had that great game against the Cardinals, backflip into the end zone and all that?
Yep.
And he and his trainer actually told me that the way Nelson got over the yips for him was to actually get physically better. He got stronger. He got faster. And so he didn't have to think as much when he was on the field. He now had the physical strength and skill to make the plays anyway. He didn't have to think it so much. And I think, you know, you may be onto something there with Foles in that he's only 19. He's had, relatively speaking, a fast and easy rise to the top of the draft. You know, he wasn't a ballyhooed player like as a freshman in high school. It wasn't until he was a junior or senior that he became this star. You know, he goes to the University of Washington, which doesn't often turn out great NBA players, great college players, and then he's the number one pick in the draft. So, you know, I think you may be onto something there. We're at 19, now he's playing against men. Maybe that's, you know, factoring into his thinking and his troubles, too.
Well, I am a patient of Dr. Joe Fish, who you mentioned in your comment. Mike, I got one more. Now that we have solved the Fultz problem, let's move on to an equally difficult dilemma. What do you think the Eagles should do, and what do you think they will do about Nick Foles, who is in the final year of a contract, has a $7.6 million cap hit, and is very marketable? Mike, trade or keep?
I think it depends entirely on the pace and quality of Carson Wentz's recovery and rehabilitation. I would be reluctant to trade him. I would. I mean, let's face it, guys. You know, he's the reason, when you boil it down, that they won the Super Bowl. I mean, as great as Doug Peterson's coaching was and as marvelous as Wentz was throughout the season, if you have a backup quarterback playing a lesser quality of football than the way Foles played in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, we're not talking about Jason Kelce and the parade and Jimmy Kimmel and all this stuff. And that's an incredible insurance policy to have. Now, if Wentz is coming along and he's looking like he's going to be ready for week one or, you know, even week two, I guess. I got to think that Howie Roseman's nature as a Wheeler dealer is going to be such that he's going to look to move Foles. But I think it, you know, I think it depends on what you could get for him. And I think it depends on how quickly and fully Wentz is going to recover from the torn ACL.
Totally logical. Mike, last thing. I know you grew up here. You've been a part of this community for so long. What did you think of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl? What was your personal reaction to it?
Let's see. The game ended, and I had 5 minutes after the game ended to finish filing a column on Alshon Jeffrey. So I did.
Right.
And then I went to the back of the press box, took my phone with me, and called my parents' house and got my dad on the phone and just said, Dad, I got to go downstairs and talk to the players and finish working, but can you believe they did this? Can you really believe they did this? And he was there with my mom and, you know, a dozen friends and family, and they were whooping it up in the back. And that was enough just to be able to call my dad and say, wow, can you believe, you know, after watching the team all these years, they actually won the Super Bowl.
Perfect as always. Read him every day. He's phenomenal. Mike, thank you so much for coming out with us. Great
Thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
See, do you realize there were all those little personal dramas all over the place?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.